There's always a number that'll make you feel bad about yourself. You try to measure up to somebody else. Numbers are out to get you. Numbers are out to get you. Numbers. Ooh. They say that you're too short to join the team.
This is the Drive Show on TSN 690. Welcome back. My name's Mitch Geller with John Still. We are with you until 7 o'clock. Tonight, Jimmy G is with us as well, and it's time to welcome in our first guest on the show today. He is a hockey analyst specializing in analytics at NHL Network and SportLogic. He is the best pitcher on the Caribous in the Senior Lakeshore Baseball League, and also a pretty good winger on Sunday nights, too. Mike Kelly, good afternoon.
What is happening? I don't know about the best pitcher, but I hurt my neck, too. I'm out of the mix for a while. It's not good.
You're out of the mix for a while? I don't know if I can handle this, Mike.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm going on the road for a bit, which is nice, but I got to get the neck back, too. This is the curse of being old now, as I slept with my kid, my two-year-old, on a cot at the cottage because he wasn't sleeping well. I woke up the next day, and I'm 2 to 4 weeks minimum.
Okay, ice, Mike, ice.
I know.
Ice heat. You'll be as good as new in no time. Talking about as good as new, I was catching up with some of the work you've been doing with SportsLogic, and you know some of the tweets you've been putting out there. And I know the Florida Panthers scored a power play goal yesterday, but when you put out the stats with their power play in the playoffs so far, I was pretty surprised because of all that talent. And Mike, maybe if they had a little bit more success on the power play, they wouldn't be down 0-3 to Tampa.
It would help, yeah, for a team that what was the stat that everyone's throwing around? The three times this year they had been held to a goal in a game. I don't think they were ever shut out, and now three games in a row against Tampa Bay, so not ideal. But yeah, the power play is perplexing because, you know, it's fine in the regular season, but with all the talent they have, like you talk about, and guys that are real elite high-end playmakers, and they bring Claude Giroux in, and Ekblad was out when Giroux came over. So they start running a five-forward power play, which no one else is really doing. Montreal tinkered a bit. I think Seattle did at the end of the year, too, but no one's really doing that. It was okay. And, you know, now you've got Ekblad back, and they're trying to find that right mix. And what I think they suffer from is not having a real premier guy in the bumper position, that high slot position, that if you've got a good one, and he's not playing right now, but Tampa Bay might have the best one in Braden Point. He can not only catch and release, he can distribute the puck. He can really kind of be the North Star in a power play if you got someone there that's really good. I don't think Florida's got that person. And the stat that blew my mind was, so we talk about this all the time, Mitch. It's, we want to score goals, you go to the front of the net, right? And even out to the hash marks, but just center lane, inner slot. They had 20 power play opportunities to start the playoffs, and they had three shots on net from there. Three. You wonder why they haven't scored. It's just they don't move the puck that quickly compared to other teams. And, yeah, it's hurt them, no question.
And it's like, who is really the guy you want taking that shot if you're going to set it up? Like, I understand they have a lot of talent there, but when I look, Giroux and Huberdeau are better passers. You know, Ekblad, okay, he's a point shot, but you don't really score from out there, and it's not the area that you're talking about on the ice. Hornqvist is more of a net front presence, and Barkov is an okay shooter, but not an elite shooter. So who do you really have to go to if you want to set up for a shot from that area of the ice?
Well, it's not the bumper spot per se. And you're right, I think a personnel is part of it. I don't think they've really got a premier guy to put there, but they put Hornqvist out there to get him in front of the net. And I think it was, you know, a game or two too late by the time they did it. And that's how they scored the power play goal, right? A little pass into that kind of mid-high slot area for a quick release shot. But, yeah, they weren't really making goalies uncomfortable. There's a lot of seam plays. I think they should, you know, and again, there's people with opinions, but I'll put my coaching hat on. I think they'd have more success if they were working the puck from the goal line up a little bit more than the east-west. But, yeah, the power plays hurt them. The other thing that's hurt them, and we know, so Florida in the regular season, they were a top three team getting chances, scoring goals off the rush, right? Everybody talks about how fast they play and how good off the rush they are, and they are. I thought there was more dimensions to their game. I didn't think they were one-dimensional where if you took that away, you'd really hurt them offensively. That's what's happened. And I'm surprised by that. That's been a big thing that's hurt them. If you look at the goals they've scored in the playoffs, they're outscoring their opponents 11-5 off the rush. Every other type of goal you can score, they're being outscored 25-12. So Washington had success against them to a point by slowing them down. Tampa Bay's completely slowed them down and shut them down in the offensive zone. I'm shocked that Florida, A, doesn't have another gear, and Andrew Burnett talked about that, that Tampa's playing with more urgency. But I'm shocked that Florida doesn't have another gear for how good they are, and I'm shocked that they've been kind of exposed as this one-dimensional offensive team.
What about the blue line for them, Mike? I mean, I don't want to take too many pot shots at Mackenzie Weegar. I mean, he knows he made a mistake on that Kucherov goal that basically really kind of killed them and seemingly in the series so far. But have you seen anything, or does the data tell you anything that either offense from the blue line or breakouts or anything like that are really hampering them, especially with Aaron Ekblad clearly dealing with some kind of injury?
Yeah, I mean, no one's going to want to hear this, but the Weegar-Forsling pairing's actually been kind of good in the playoffs overall. But the glaring mistakes, and Weegar's made a ton of them. Like, there's no question. It's those big, glaring mistakes. And I'm as high on him as probably anybody. You know, I really thought over the last couple of years, he doesn't play on the power play, right? So he doesn't get those extra points. But if you just look at all the defensemen in the league, at even strength and penalty kill, because that's all he does, he's put up some monster numbers and really played well, and he's struggled big time in the playoffs for sure. The breakout and the entries, really everything through the neutral zone, where Florida in the regular season, you know, completing passes, gaining the offensive zone, they dumped it in less than anyone in the regular season. And you're going to have to adapt a little bit in the playoffs. I talk about this a lot. Tampa Bay learned some of these lessons after they got swept by Columbus, and the Blue Jackets were two things. They were a very good defensive team at the time, and they were a very good counterattack team. It had surprised some people to learn that Columbus that year scored more goals off the rush than anyone else in the league, because they were the Tortorella defensive, you know, trap it up team in a lot of people's mind. But that's what they did. They countered, and Tampa learned, and they started to chip and chase a little more, to place and chase a little more, get in on the forecheck, learn how to win games by giving up the puck and getting it back. And I watch this Florida team now, and they look like they're completely out of sorts because they can't do what they want to do, and they don't know how to do the other things that are required to win.
Chatting with Mike Kelly of the NHL Network and Sports Logic, and you make a good point. I liked what you were talking about with Panarin, what he said about making less risky plays, basically, and looking at Kucherov before the success and how he kind of changed his way of playing the last couple of playoffs as well. And I want to talk about that Rangers-Carolina Hurricanes series, Mike, because I find the Hurricanes to be interesting in the fact that we heard they care so much about analytics and puck possession, but with Rod Brind'Amour, they dump in the puck more than anybody else. They are very elite at retrievals and puck battle wins. But why do they dump it in so much when their whole team was built around puck possession?
I'm not sure the team was built around puck possession. And you bring up a good point talking about Rod Brind'Amour and the way that he wants to play, right? And I've talked to Barry Trotz about this. I think he's one of the sharpest minds in the game, one of the best coaches. And he talked about puck possession, where it's not the literal thing of just having it on your stick all the time, but it's about playing a possession game. And if you can give the puck up and have a plan to get it back, like, no one listening to this is ever going to do this, but I've done it. If you watch dump-ins closely, some are kind of mindless. Some are going for line changes. Some are because you're being pressured. But good teams, and Carolina does this, and Barry Trotz's teams did this, they'll have a plan when they dump a puck in. So say you're going up the right side of the ice, and there's a guy closing on you, and you're at the red line. You can either throw it cross ice because you know you've got a winger going up there, or you can rim it around hard because you know at the very least you've got a player whose plan it is to get there at the same time as a defender, and you can battle for it, or you can get there first. So you're giving it up, but you're still playing a puck possession game, right? Because you always have a plan to at least battle for that puck, if not get it back. It's the mindless ones where you're throwing it and the other team gets it, and now they can start their breakout, that don't really fall into that category. So, yeah, like you said about Carolina, I mean, they win with work ethic, really, and it's up and down the lineup. So they're going to battle for a lot of pucks, but because of the way they play, they dump it out more than anyone. They dump it in more than anyone. But they win a lot of battles, and they relentlessly pressure you on whether they're killing a penalty, whether it's even strength. They pressure with a purpose, and they force you into mistakes. They force you to make quick plays. And that's been a big part of their success. So if the odd night, and it's human nature, the work ethic isn't quite there, that's where it's going to hurt a team like Carolina. But many, many more nights than not, it is there, and it does, like you said, it kind of embodies the way that that Rod Brind'Amour liked to play.
You know what's funny? The first person I heard talk about what you just were alluding to with how you can dump the puck and still get it back and dumping the puck with purpose was P.K. Subban under Michel Therrien. He would talk about puck placement all the time rather than calling it a dump-in.
Place and chase.
Yeah. So I just wonder how many teams are going to look at the way playoff hockey is being played right now and try to emulate that, because you look at the teams that are having success, these teams that are left, the Rangers, the Hurricanes, the Flames, the Blues, they all tend to do a lot of the same things.
Yeah, you know what? I've had interesting discussions. I was at the analytics conference in Boston, Sloan, in March, and I was talking to a director of analytics with one of the teams, and an interesting discussion about the playoffs and the regular season and the differences, right? And he didn't think there was much of a difference or so much of a difference that you should build your team any differently. And it's a typical, you know, analytics, and this isn't a right or wrong thing, but view of things, right? Where set yourself up to be as competitive as you can for as long as you can, right? So I do think there is more of a difference, though, and you can prove it out statistically, and where you'll get debate is how much does it matter. But in the playoffs every year, pucks, there's more dump-ins, there's less carry-ins, there's less quality chances off the rush, there's more puck battles. All the things that you guys see with your eyes, that kind of heavy playoff hockey, it's true. How true is it? These are the things you can start to get into, whether or not you should build a team any differently. But look, there's examples of teams around the league that if you look at their 90 games in a season, playoffs, whatever they end up doing in regular season combined, they are very good, but they have not won anything. There are also teams that kind of builds up that narrative, which I don't really believe in either, of just get in and anything can happen. I think there's teams, to your point, that are better situated to play in the postseason. And maybe they don't get 110 points in the regular season, but I'm going to bet on them in the playoffs, depending who they play. It's an interesting balance. It takes interpretation. One person could look at it and tell me I'm wrong. I could look at it and tell them they're wrong. But that's where you know, the fun in doing this kind of stuff is.
For sure. And before we let you go, I just want to get your take on the Flames-Oilers series. I don't think many would have a 9-6 game one and the Oilers losing that game but leading the series 2-1, Mike. So just can you make sense of what we've seen with the Battle of Alberta?
No, I can't. It's crazy. It's crazy, right? Like, the last regular season game they played, Calgary won 9-5. So, I don't know how crazy it is it was 9-6. But it is because it's the playoffs, right? And you would just think, with the way those teams play and the coaching and all of that, it wouldn't get that crazy. But it did. And So, Draisaitl and McDavid, that's it, right? Jay Woodcroft made the adjustment, put them on the same line. Draisaitl's not 100%. Let's support him by putting him with Connor. They're running over the Calgary Flames, who I think really miss Chris Tanev, who's a good shutdown defenseman. There's so many things McDavid's done that are just mind-blowing. Like, you can go on and on. First 10 playoff games this year, he had multiple points in 9 of them. No one's ever done that. Like, we're talking about things no one's ever done. And then you see him on other lists where the only guys that have done it is Wayne and Mario. It's crazy. So game 3, McDavid, so much of what he does, right, is his brilliance with speed and attacking through the neutral zone. His playmaking is really what stood out to me in the playoffs this year. Like he used to kind of be a one man band, just give me the puck and I'll go do it myself. He is making everyone else way better. And that shows up in the fact that in game three, he entered the offensive zone and created a scoring chance either by giving it to someone else or himself 10 times. In all the years my company SportLogic's been tracking this information, which is about seven, no one's ever done that in a playoff game 10 times. Like the list of we've never seen this before just keeps going on and on. And that's how Edmonton scored three of their four goals, by the way. So it's pretty meaningful. But then you get Leon, who's got four assists and is, for me, the best passer in the game. It's incredible watching them play. And Calgary's got to figure something out because the D they have right now have no chance against those guys.
Mike, I hosted the Montreal Forum today, and I spoke, and tell me if I'm wrong, as someone who, again, I appreciate hockey history, so I'm not just going and throwing things out there, but is it crazy to start mentioning Gretzky and McDavid in, like, the same sentence? Because this is the playoffs where, for me, it feels like he has gone to kind of – he's transcended being just Connor McDavid, and now he's Connor McDavid who is carrying the Edmonton Oilers on his back. I know Leon Draisaitl is an unbelievable player. He's also playing on basically one leg here. Just when you're talking about the history of the game, is it apt to bring up Gretzky and McDavid in the same sentence?
I don't think so. And like I know where you're at, and I like it. But for me, when you say the history of the game, we're talking about the 60 records that Gretzky has, the cups that he has, all the individual trophies that he has. McDavid's trying to get out of the second round. And he might do some of these things. He might do a lot of these things. We don't know. Maybe at the end. The other thing with Gretzky, too, when people will say, well, he played in the 80s and everyone scored points and all that. Like, look at the years where he led the league in scoring and look at where the next guys were, right? And Connor's done a little bit of that. So I see where you're at, and I could say, like, maybe the door's open and we're looking through to see if there's something there, but I don't think Connor's walked through that door yet. He needs to prove more and play more and have more years in the league, and we'll see. But these guys, you know, they all measure themselves by winning. And what if Connor wins a cup this year? Well, then we're really having a conversation. So I think Connor McDavid is the most talented player who's ever played the game. But I wouldn't say he's the best, because I think there's just people whose resumes, and Gretzky's is the guy who, when you look at all the accomplishments, it's just, it's unmatched.
Mike, thanks for your insight as always, and go ice that neck.
I will ice that neck. And I like the song that came on, by the way, when I was in here. You guys are sharp with that stuff. You're going to play me out with it too, aren't you? I'm getting the hook right now.
Yeah, hey, Mike, don't say you guys are sharp. I want to take full credit for that
one. Yeah, exactly. Jimmy was actually ripping the choice in the background, so, you know.
Tell Jimmy G I look forward to seeing him again sometime soon.
Yeah, talk soon, Mike.
All right, bye.
There's Mike Kelly from NHL Network and Sports Logic. This is The Drive Show on TSN 690. Gallo and Still until 7 o'clock. Coming up next, where will Jeff Petrie play next season?